order. I see that, we'll call, have a roll call vote, please.
Dan Barco here.
Bill McAfee here.
Kim Rolowitz here.
Ron Warren here.
And let the record reflect that Counselor Stu Martinez is absent with permission, and so be it. Are there any added agenda items?
Yes, we have.
I've got them.
You got one.
I've got them. Okay, I have two. Tonight we'll add the mosquito abatement contract under other matters, and we will add a proclamation for Marine Corporal Kyle Thompson to 4A following the consent agenda. Go ahead.
Do we, we not have pledge anymore?
We are about to.
Okay, I just didn't see it on the agenda.
I didn't either.
Okay.
You know, the body got off one, and then it just never got added.
Paul, everybody will join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everybody had a chance to look at the consent agenda? Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I have a suggested correction in a couple of minutes.
Okay. And I have something I want to ask about too.
These are really just kind of minor things, but probably on the April 13th, is that one? Yeah, April 13th, page 4, second paragraph, fourth line. Mm-hmm. There's a wording there, it says, it starts out, building structural or ground and are intended to be in use. I thought maybe that word was supposed to be intended.
Yeah, yes.
Good catch.
And then on page 8, the second paragraph from the bottom, near the end of the last line, it says there are still faucets of it, but I think that means supposed to be facets, maybe. Biogreen situation may be closer to being resolved, but there are still
facets.
I know it's just picky, but
no, that's good.
And then on April 27th, I'm just not sure if this is. I don't understand the sentence on page 6. So it's the second paragraph of text where it says City Manager Allen said Cable Road was an experiment to remove the trees and brush from it. Is that the context of it?
Well, you could call it a test, I guess.
Or it's an experiment.
I mean, I don't know what he said, but it.
Okay. That's the right word. It just seemed odd grammar or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's okay. Right. It's all right. I just didn't.
In other words, we're not going to go out and do all the roads at once. We're going to test it, try it, see how it works, see how the.
Test case or something. That's fine. Yeah. I just didn't quite understand. So. Okay. That's all. Thank you. Yes.
On Wednesday, April 27th, minutes, page 4, paragraph 2, it says, sometime between January 1, 2012 and July 1, 2012. Are those the correct dates? On the second paragraph, the last.
Yes. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah, the last half of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's what I recall.
Yes. Now, they were saying we didn't want to wait a whole year.
Right.
Right.
So we're hoping to do it at some point.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. I have one on page 6 of March 23rd. The second from the bottom, the paragraph second from the bottom, where it says Councilor Mullinex stated that he will get a cost estimate for purchasing a new flagpole for the meeting room. Did I say that? Because I thought that was you, Abel.
Me? I remember. No, I don't think I said
that. I don't either.
No, because I, because,
I just thought my name had gotten, as it says, Counselor, and I do remember you saying something about a
I said, when we were gonna, when are we going to get one, and then Jim said he's working on it.
Jim
Funny. Yeah, Jim Funny.
Okay.
Right?
Still working.
Yeah, see?
Okay. Then, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, so you're still going to be shopping?
Yeah. If I said it, I said it.
Well, hopefully, you know, we'll need one for our new building. Anyway. Right. We want one to fit there. It's right. Nice. Oregon.
Are there any other comments about the consent agenda? I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All. Are there any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Chair agrees. Carried. And at this time, I would like to read the proclamation that the city has and the city council has agreed to put forth on behalf of Marine Corporal Kyle Thompson. And I would like to ask District Commander Larry Matthews, who is a past commander of American Legion Post 45, to say a few words on Kyle's behalf, and maybe a little bit about what you've got going this Saturday, and then I'll read the proclamation.
Okay. This started a couple of days ago. Actually, one of our local businessmen, Tom Harmon, approached me and asked me. He said, "You know, Kyle's coming home." And we've been following Kyle through Cambridge website and through media posted at the American Legion. Well, when I found out he was coming home, he asked, is there something we could do for him, a welcome home committee or a situation like that. And asked me if I had headed up. I told him I'd be glad to. And so we shifted into gear. I made calls to Z21 and all radio stations and Ken and other Congress people and so on, but so what we decided to do was, being that Kyle is on his way home through vehicle travel, he's not coming home on an airplane where he's going to land at Redmond, where we could actually do a Patriot Guard ride from Redmond to point B. He's actually driving home in a vehicle, and he's going to arrive at home tomorrow or no later than Friday. We thought we'd give him a day of rest to move around a little bit, and with the family's permission and him, American Legion Post 45 agreed to have a welcome home hero recognition for Kyle, to let him know that as he's coming home to all of his trials and errors he's been through, that somebody cares. And that so what we're going to do is Saturday, we are going to muster all the Legion riders and all the Patriot Guard riders that we can muster, and other riders that want to participate at 2 o'clock at the American Legion Post 45. Approximately 2:15, we will leave and go to his residence and let them know that we're ready, and there will be a full escort escorting him and the family to the American Legion Post 45 to arrive at 3 o'clock to 3:10, but no later than, or no earlier than 3 o'clock. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Patriot Guard and stuff in action and stuff, but if you're ever behind one or if you're ever involved in one, the memory itself of the bikes with all the American flags and et cetera, they're flopping in the air and doing this travel is a memory in itself. So once we approach the post and stuff, then I do have the ROTC, if you want them to be involved, our Honor Guard Post 45 will be involved, and we will create a flag lane for Kyle and the family to walk through into the post. We'll have a reserved table for him and most of the family, because there's a lot of family coming. And at that time, we will have the Commander Steve Gray right there say a few words and welcome Kyle to the post and welcome him home. And we will try to, at that time, see who's there, who wants to speak, dignitaries of such sort, because I did invite a lot of them, and some of them responded that might may want to say something. Some of them sent in this emails and letters. Greg Walden, for example, is emailing a speech for us to read and on his behalf, and then this stuff will be presented to him. But basically what it is the community getting together right there and welcoming this kid home. And there's going to be a potluck that the city people are bringing in, finger food and stuff like that. And after everything's said and done, they're welcoming him home. Everybody's going to mingle around and eat and be able to say hi to him and speak their peace, and it'll dissipate. It's going to be kind of a short ceremony, but it'll be a meaningful ceremony. And that's what it's all about. If you don't know, Kyle was blown up by an IED. Lost his eye. 90% of his eye was gone. And they're telling me that that vision has come back to where he can drive a vehicle now and things. He's a miracle guy in recovery. But he made it. And him and Todd, both of them, they made it. But he's coming back, and he's a fine person. He lives here. So that's what it's about. We're going to make sure this veteran realizes that we care. So that's about it.
Larry, thank you very much. I would like to, if I could, express on behalf of the council our deep appreciation for your efforts. Legion Post 45 here in the Pine, in this endeavor of a local boy coming home who has really went through a great deal of sacrifice to make our keep our country free. At this time, I'd like to read the proclamation. Lapine, Oregon Proclamation. Whereas the citizens of Lapine and the greater Lapine community have great admiration and gratitude for all men and women who have selflessly served their country and this community and the armed forces. In order to protect and preserve the freedom enjoyed by our community and all Americans, and whereas Corporal Kyle Thompson, a resident of Lapine and a graduate of Lapine High School in 2005, did following graduation enter the United States military, and most specifically the United States Marine Corps. And whereas Corporal Kyle Thompson, a combat Marine and member of the 1st Recon Battalion B Company, while on patrol in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, as a result of an IED blast on October the 25th, 2010, sustained severe shrapnel injuries to his face and upper body, including the loss of his left eye. And whereas Corporal Kyle Thompson received the Purple Heart for his injuries, and whereas freedom is not free, and Corporal Kyle Thompson, a proud Marine, has paid the price by leaving his family, his community, and placed himself in harm's way for the good of all. Now therefore it be resolved that the Lapine City Council hereby proclaims May the 14th, 2011 as Corporal Kyle Thompson Day, and urges all citizens to express their gratitude by displaying their American flag on this day in his honor. I would ask the consent of the council to allow me to sign this proclamation on behalf of Corporal Kyle Thompson.
So moved.
Yes.
And I'd like to present this to
Steve.
Steve is the commander of American Legion Post 45. With our deepest sympathy and our most profound regards to Corporal Kyle Thompson, please present that to him on behalf of the city of Lapine.
We will, and thank you so much. It's so well said.
Thank you.
Community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
good night. Public comments.
That was great.
Thanks, Jim.
It makes your body tingle.
Yeah.
Does mine.
Yep.
No, hearing no public comments. Number six, resolution number 2011-05, supplemental budget hearing. Open the public hearing.
Okay, you've got it in your stuff there. We figured this would come. Obviously, when they put the budget together, we weren't anticipating buying a city hall at this time last year. And you can only change funds by 10%. Obviously, a purchase this week was more than 10%. And so this is to keep everything all legal. And it was $520,000 what our total borrow was. And this is how it's all allocated. So it basically will get us on track. Actually, a lot of the money will be spent after July 1, and so that's why it's broke up like it is. We bought the building in this budget year. We'll spend some money, although we may not when it's actually said and done. Depends on when we start working on it. And then we have the debt, insurance, and costs. And we've created a city, we have another resolution you'll do after this, but we have a city hall improvement fund that we've created. We parked it in miscellaneous expenses when we wrote the check, because we didn't have this. So. It's pretty common. You'll probably do one next year, would be my guess. Supplemental budget. I don't know if you've done them in the past. I said the Parks District did one the other day, and they said it's pretty common.
Yes.
It's resolution 2011-05. So that's the report. Just put it in.
Okay. Is there a...
Are you looking for the sheet?
No.
There it
is.
Okay.
Is there a motion to...
You get a public comment. Take a public comment and close the public hearing.
Follow me. Is there any public comment on the resolution 2011-05 adopting a supplemental budget? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. Council deliberations.
You're ready for a motion?
Yes. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve resolution 2011-05.
I make a motion that we approve resolution number 2011-05, adopting the supplemental budget.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. It's approved. Chair concurs.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2011-02, an ordinance granting Mid-State Electric Cooperative Inc. the right and franchise to place, erect, and maintain poles.
Isn't that it? This resolution.
I think that may be on me.
Regarding the budget.
The resolution for the ordinance.
Resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to adopt the other resolution. 1106.
Is that in here?
Yeah, it's the next one.
Yeah.
It's maybe not on that agenda, but not on that agenda.
Okay. Not on my agenda.
This is
now.
This is for creating the funds for next year's budget. And so next week when we have our budget hearing, you'll see all these. You know, as we've separated things out. to create, we've talked about it, but to create the tourism fund, just keep the TRT separate, water fund, we'll have down the road sewer fund, the city hall improvement, we'll have SDCs, and so this authorizes to let us do this for the next year's budget.
Is there any discussion?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2011-06.
I move that we approve resolution number 2011-06, authorizing creation of various accounting funds and sub-funds for accounting and budgeting purposes.
I second.
Oh. Go ahead.
I second that.
Are there any questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
And actually, some of them will be for this year's budget. Some of them will have zero balances and things.
The ayes have it. It's approved, and the chair concurs. Same one. Okay, now.
Oh, here we'll get that patty actually.
Okay. Ordinance number 2011-02. An ordinance granting Mid-State Electric Cooperative Inc. the right and franchise to place, erect, and maintain poles, wires, and other appliances and conductors for the transmission and distribution of electricity in, on, and under the streets, alleys, avenues, throughways, and public highways in the city of Lapine, Oregon for the purpose of generating, transmitting, and distributing electricity. Discussion?
You need to open the public hearing.
Stick to the script. We will open a public hearing at this time on ordinance number 2011-02. Staff report,
okay.
Please.
We obviously had this at work sessions and things. It's been kind of hanging out there for a couple months. We were waiting till now. And the Mid-State Board has approved it. Their board met. And, you know, like I say, you've seen this, but we met with Mid-State Bill, and then we're here about 2 months ago, I think it was. And this is the culmination of the final of all of that, and several months prior. Lots of attorney time and everything else went into it. Ultimately, it will the city of Lapine will increase its franchise fees by about $130,000 a year, is the estimate from Mid-State. So it's a significant income stream. It's a big deal for the city, believe me.
Yeah.
So,
are there any questions of staff?
It'll be effective July 1. They'll start collecting. They will pay us quarterly.
Are we going to open?
Yeah, public comment.
Bob Stephens, 52573 schedule. I'm just wondering, is this under the direction of the utility committee or at Mid-State's pleasure as far as putting up poles or going underground?
The franchise spells all of that out. I mean, ultimately, they have to, if they want to say run a new line, they have to, and it says in here how many, they have to come, they bring us the plans. We have so many days to respond and so on. So, we probably can't stop them from putting up a power line. We can make them put it certain places. There's sections on the bearing of the power lines. Obviously, the big feeder lines can't be buried. And you're very lucky. Mid-State's really got lots of underground here.
Mm-hmm.
Because your new subdivisions have it. And you only cross the town with a major line, I think, once right down here and then out of town right here. Like, see that line? See, that can't be buried. And then around over in Huntington, they're almost all buried except like a half a block. So you actually, cable is the worst for power lines, but you know, it wasn't designed for that.
Okay, any further public comments? Hearing none, I'll close public hearing. Council deliberations.
So, so what is the rate that they're going to?
Seven.
7%
is the, and it will show up on the bill. So Frank, like, you get on your phone bills and everything, and the gas mm-hmm. company currently has, it will say City of Lapine franchise fee.
Have we gotten any public comment?
I haven't had one.
I had one. A lady called me probably a month ago. Right after the newsletter went out. Not long after the newsletter went out. And she wouldn't tell me who she was. And she said that all she really wanted to know was when we were going to tell the users that it was going to raise their electricity bill. And she said that about three times and hung up. So that's all I heard.
I mean, there's been newspaper stories on it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We Mid-State has a board of locals on it. It's come here probably three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the newsletter even mentioned it and said that it was coming on. So people have had it directly mailed to them.
Mm-hmm.
They've had it at the public notices and everywhere in between. And we've never had anyone, you know, I mean, people don't like it. I mean, no one wants to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Pacific Power or those other districts, actually, a certain percent is actually in the bill regardless. So by having a franchise agreement, it's just actually giving you the money that the company was already collecting. Co-ops are a little different. And how the co-op handles it's really their business. It's the city. The city sets the rate, and then how they want to handle it is really internal.
Well,
I
already said something. Go ahead.
I recall that there was some discussion or negotiation regarding pole rentals or something. How did that come out?
I think it was a $500. It was when they ran a pole to like the cable company to string something off of it.
Yeah.
And
they charge for that.
Yeah, and it's little amounts of money, and they thought it would be a lot of hassle to keep track of it all. So we had agreed, that's right, we'd agreed the night they were here to give them like a, so much. It was, what they're currently doing, it's fine. The reason that we didn't want to just stop altogether is that all of these companies out there are doing, what are they going to be providing a decade or 5 or 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all changing. And we're into this debate right now with Ben Broadband. And so the City of Matters, actually, and us have paired up to have one position going with Ben Broadband, because what they want to do is very narrow what is taxable, so that very little tax is paid. But in the old days, the power just did power. The phone brought your dial tone to your house, and the cable brought your cable. Well, now the cable's bringing the dial tone, internet. The phone company's bringing the internet, and they're losing dial tone. Then companies like Ben Broadband are coming in on top of the other cable company with everything from soup to nuts, and it's quite a deal. And then don't even get into cell phones and franchise fees, because that's the next interesting battle down the road.
Yeah.
So we wrote this to where Mid-State was to get into the phone business and start doing things at some point that would become something their franchise fee would be paid on. Now, they would tell you, well, we're not in the phone business. Well, we know that, but just in case. Because everybody's doing everything. Central Electric Co-op provides internet service to Quantum. It's a subsidiary of Central Electric. They do big customers in Madras, Redmond, and maybe Frankville, I'm not sure. But, and they're CEC. Well, Mid-State says they're not going to get in that business. Well, then there's nothing to worry about.
What about
if they do?
What about companies like Dish Network? Why can't we get something like that, even though they're coming over there?
You know, everything out of the air, that's what the Congress is trying to deal with. How do you, what do you do with this stuff out of the air? And that's not been resolved.
Yeah.
I could see that coming someday.
I know Jeremy's really careful, and I trust his work.
Yeah, they got their attorney all over this.
Yeah.
Attorney from Portland. Yeah, and Mid-State's been great. You know, we went from them, you know, not even wanting the discussion held to approving it ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not here to complain. So it was really ended up being a great kind of coming together over several months. And we were good. We gave them the timelines they needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were worried we were too quick on how quick they had to respond to us and things. We've given them extra time. And so Darwin and Bill and all of them did a good job. And the two attorneys.
This is effective on July?
July 1. And now they will get a letter. Every customer will get a letter in the mail. They will include it in the bill. And that's one reason we need to do it now, so that they have time to get that in the next bill.
When will we see our first franchise?
3 months after July 1. So.
Okay. End of September?
Yeah, October.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, we don't like fixing fees and taxes, but I think this was a necessary step to establish us as a city. It was a necessary building block.
Yeah.
That's also one of the ways we can hold down the property tax.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that everybody should be aware of. They may be paying a fee in electric, but if we didn't get that, we might have to raise property taxes. So this way it helps keep it down for the present time.
Well, and I can tell you, when the BioGreen gets built, you will have a significant increase. And see, because they're going to get a tax abatement, you won't get any property taxes. And as I mentioned, some of you, Primeville gave them, ended up giving, Facebook, they got like a 10-year abatement or something. And when I talked to the mayor and the council there, they didn't care about taxes. They're going to pay them $1 million a year in franchise fees. And BioGreen will consume a lot of power to run all the things that run and all the lights and all the things out there. So you could see a significant increase. And Rob Wilbur wondered if they could be exempt, and I said no.
Okay.
There was a lady in the back that had raised her hand.
Just a question.
Yes, ma'am. Name and address, please.
Oh, Renee Chiffon of Glenwood Drive, Levine. Last year, Mid-State, the electric bill went up. Okay, that was the rate hike. Now we're looking at it another one. See, I didn't even know about this at the end of this summer. July, August.
Yes.
Okay, I got to be ready.
Thank you, Renee.
Mr.
Yes,
just one comment.
Name and address?
Ted Scholler, Cornell Drive, Levine. Your provisions for Mid-State into telecommunications was a good move because they're already providing fiber optic and Mid-State for people in Levine, businesses and so on.
Right.
Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2011-02.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. It's approved. Chair concurs.
Thank you.
Presentation by Andy Ewing of Wilderness Star Beach. Andy.
That'd be me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You betcha.
I'm
Have extras if any of you want them. I'll leave them here with my assistant. She
thank you so much, Betcha. Oh, this is great.
All right. Basically, what this is, my name's Andy Ewing, first of all. I am the recycling, I guess, coordinator with Wilderness Garbage. And what we did, we sent out a survey in February with the bills for all the city customers, seeing if they'd be interested in a curbside recycling program. And we included in there what we thought the cost might be for that, the cost in addition on your bill, what we'd have to raise that to in order to provide that. And these are the results for that. So if you turn to the second page, this is exactly what the survey looked like that we sent out to all the customers. We asked them to check yes or no if they'd be interested and any comments they had with it. And then on the third page, you see where we came up with the numbers for the price increase. Mm-hmm. Basically, for every other week collection of your commingle materials in a 95-gallon roll cart would have been about $3.87. That's after fuel costs, driver costs, everything like that. The cost of the cart over a 10-year period, we add that in there, and it's about $3.87. On the fourth page, that's something we didn't bring up to the customers, but I just included it, is if we would have gone with a once-a-month pickup instead of an every-other-week to see what the price difference would have been. Yeah, the bill still would have gone up about $2.20 for that. Then the next page is the results of the survey. Out of the nearly 500 surveys we sent out, we got about 132 of them back, and the result was almost a dead split. It was 37% said no, they would not want it. 53% said yes. In that, I tallied all the comments and kind of broke up people. The main reasons people said voted no. 32% said that they just brought the recycling to our depot, that we have at our yard. Mm-hmm. It was easier for them, and then they didn't have to pay the extra cost. 43% said they didn't generate enough recyclables that they'd actually use the service. And then 25% said basically the bill was high enough as it was and they couldn't afford an increase. So after reading all the results and everything, the fact that it was a 50-50 split made us feel like at this time it was definitely not in the company's best interest to institute the program. We'd risk losing way too many customers that way. So basically what we're doing is we're going to try to advertise our depot more, because a lot of people don't even know that you can bring all your recyclables to our yard for free during our office hours, and we want people to be aware of that. We've also started a few pilot programs around the area. We started one at the Prairie House. We collect the recyclables, bring them back to our depot, and empty them into the big boxes, because what we do with those recyclables is we haul them in drop boxes to Bend, where they then get bundled up and sent up to Salem, and which is a manufacturing facility that then separates all that stuff out. Also, some people weren't aware, and it wasn't something that we advertised, but the county used to help us pay for the cost to haul those boxes to Bend. They paid basically for the fuel and the driver cost. Well, we lost that in the middle of last year. The county said they didn't have the funding for that. We were torn what we were going to do, but we knew we couldn't just eliminate the facility because that would upset a lot of people. So we just kind of absorbed the cost of that and continued it. And it's the hard work of all of our employees that's kept it going. They're out there separating the materials to keep them from getting contaminated in the different containers so we don't get billed for them. And also what we're going to do is we're going to explain to the city residents the results of the survey, why we're not going to be able to start the program at this time, and we're going to encourage them to really drop off the recyclables at our yard. We understand that a big reason that people said no, they didn't want it, is because they're already so close to the facility. We understand if we sent the survey out to all of our other customers out in Deschutes County and Klamath County that we service, a lot more people would have said yes for that price because they don't have to drive that far to our facility. Basically, the recycling industry is always changing, it's expanding. We understand the need for recycling, and we're the first to understand that it's very important. So we're going to continue to try to make it better. Our long-term goal is definitely to have commingle recycling, residential curbside pickup in the future. And it's going to take time. We're trying to get not only the county, but the state to help us fund that and get it going. So that's my presentation. I left a business card on here for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email. If you talk to any citizens of the city that don't understand why we can't do the program at this time, I'd love to explain that to them and help them out. Also, at the last page, I attached a copy of an article that was in the bulletin. It's called Behind Ways the Cost of Recycling. It's been out a couple of months, but I don't know if all of you got a chance to read it. It's pretty interesting. I talked with the guy with the bulletin, and he wasn't aware at first that we didn't have any curbside recycling. He couldn't understand why. When he sat down and looked at some of the numbers with us, it made a whole lot more sense to him. People in Bend pay about the same for garbage pickup that the customers down here do, plus they get recycling. So they think that we're making more money because we don't provide the recycling. But we have maybe 4,000 customers. We service from the southern border of Sun River down to Diamond Lake Junction up to Willamette Pass. They have 10 times the amount of customers in a lot smaller area. And people don't really understand that sometimes. So that's all I have for you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. There's a question, Dan.
I just have a question.
Yes.
Andy, somebody today actually told me that they saw something in the bulletin in the last, they thought maybe a week ago or something, about legislation with the state requiring cities to somehow provide recycling services.
I believe that was more centered towards Bend Garbage, and
right.
And they were concerned because Bend Garbage currently does an every other week commingle pickup, and somewhere in the legislation it says that places that large are supposed to provide it every week, and so that was getting mixed up in there, and now their hands are tied, but it sounds like that legislation will get changed because it's a sufficient enough pickup for the customers. They're not complaining that it's not enough right now. So. Oh, yes. We will be required to provide curbside recycling service in the city once the city has 10,000 people in it.
Okay.
So, we've got a way to go, but we definitely have to do it.
I think that's in our 50-year
I have a question.
Don?
I was wondering if you ever considered, if you started this program, if you might pick up additional people for your regular garbage service that right now kind of feel like it's a pain to try to recycle stuff, where if they could have it done at their home, they would probably start.
Absolutely, and we thought about that, and we feel like we would attract more customers that would rather haul at their own and then recycle on their own. There's drawbacks to that as well. A lot of places that have garbage service and generate a lot of garbage when they're recycling, then they don't generate as much garbage and they don't want a bigger can, or they don't think they need a weekly pickup then. And then what that does to us, because we will never charge, try to make a profit from the customers off recycling. We want to be able to just provide the recycling for the customers. We know we'll make the money as a service we're providing altogether, not just on that. We don't want to charge somebody just for recycling. So we can't have customers saying, well, now I'm not generating any garbage, I just want to be able to recycle. Because then we're spending the fuel and the paying somebody, and we're not getting anything from it. So we will definitely gain more customers if we have the recycling. We're well aware of that. And then we won't have people complaining that our rates are too high for a company that doesn't provide on-route recycling.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? I'd like to thank you very much for a great presentation.
Thank you.
Oh, and for any of you who aren't already aware, our Recycle Depot is located out on Russell Road in the industrial park. If you can get there off of Finley View, go past Mid-State over the railroad tracks, and your first road to the left is Russell Road. We're right there on the corner. And our hours are 8 to 4 Monday through Thursday and 8 to 1 on Friday. It's open for recycling.
Thank you. Recommendation to appoint two members to the Planning Commission. I have a letter to the Lapine City Council from the Planning Commission. Recommendations for new planning commissioners. At a planning commission, they reviewed three applications for vacant planning commission positions. After much discussion interviewing each, we agreed to and then voted on the following recommendations. Doug Ward to fill the two-year vacant position that was held by Virginia Klassen, and Renee Stefano. Sorry, Renee.
That's okay.
Renee lives down the street from to fill the other vacant position, which will expire. A third applicant, William Souders, withdrew his application after learning only two vacancies were available, but wants to keep his application on file. The commission is very impressed with him and feels he would be a real asset, so definitely want to keep his application on file. We have a recommendation by the Planning Commission to appoint Doug Ward and Renee Schifano to the Planning Commission.
So you can take them one at a time?
Sure. I have a motion to appoint Doug Ward to fill the two-year vacant position that was held by Virginia Klassen.
I shall move.
No, was there going to be a discussion?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so should I start in?
Well, I'll second it and then
we can have the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anybody has any discussion about it?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I have concerns about this appointment. And when I served with Mr. Ward on the council, one thing that he was very definitive in his ideas, and he always had a clear vision, and he voted that way. He was the only counselor to vote no on the city supporting chamber membership. He was the only counselor that didn't support people who lived outside within the greater Lapine area by voting no, so that the city wouldn't even consider the I think it was the non-resident council position. So I'm not saying that these visions were right or wrong. That's not really the important point. But the important point was is that that wasn't the vision that was adopted, that the people felt represented them, and they voted Mr. Ward out. So I think that is an important consideration that I think that we should make when we are reviewing his application. Our new council was voted in because they ran on inclusive. They spoke about including everyone and considering decisions of people who lived outside of the area. They represented responsible growth and also promoting economic development. And I think that we should support those tenants, and therefore that I will not support the appointing Mr. Ward to the Planning Commission. I think that his talents and his experience could be realized in another position with the city.
Any comments, Don?
Yes, I have some comments. First of all, I've known Mr. Wood for quite a while, and I'll tell you one thing, you have no trouble at all knowing where Mr. Wood stands. And I have yet to hear Mr. Ward really say anything that is against the city. I think his best interest is in the city. He's interested in seeing that the city goes and develops in an orderly manner. And I think that he's well qualified to work with the Planning Commission and do the job diligently. Thank you, sir.
Dan?
Well, I think the fact that the Planning Commission is making a recommendation means a lot to me. And what do we have, five people on the Planning Commission?
Three.
Three?
Seated right now.
I mean, five total. Five positions.
Capacity of five.
You know, I know where Adele's coming from because it's nice when we have a balance and we have a variety of perspectives. And I respect, you know, where Doug comes from because you know everybody does have a different kind of place. And it's also, I also know that sometimes people's positions, you know, might change or, you know, might become more open to things or that kind of thing, and I don't know if that's true or not. But I'm assuming that this paper means that you're recommending, that the current Planning Commission is recommending these individuals.
That's what I reported. Did I sign that?
Looks like somebody's trying to bust your name.
Chicken coop scratch. I suspect that.
I guess I just have a question for Doug. Doug, are you opposed to economic development in the city?
Dan, I've never voted once against development of the city, either economic or commercial or industrial. I did vote no to join the Chamber of Commerce because I didn't think it was the right thing. I didn't think it was the proper thing to do. I never voted no on any economic questions in the entire country.
Thank you.
Never once.
Okay, thank you. I've known Doug for a long time. As a matter of fact, Doug and I ran for city council in 2008.
Close enough.
And I know during the period following our election, Doug and I had many conversations and was following the city council closely. I found him to be inquisitive, and when he didn't understand something, he asked questions, and in a, almost in a case of like the Planning Commission will have discussions, and he ferreted out, you know, it was him and I, and we ferreted out the ideas that we felt were important, and he if he heard something that was in that made him better understand it, he readily accepted that, and I think that's a quality that the Planning Commission can use. I too think that it's a position that has a very important need to have our citizens involved, and I can find no reason that I wouldn't appreciate having Mr. Ward on the Planning Commission. Therefore, I would ask for a motion to...
We made a motion.
Have a motion.
Oh, we do, that's right. We do in a second.
That.
Therefore, All those in favor of nominating or appointing Mr. Wood to fill a 2-year vacant position that was held by Virginia Plassen, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
I say aye, and it's approved. And now for Renee Schifano.
I move that we accept their recommendation for Renee Schifano.
You can slap me later. Schifano.
Schifano.
Schifano. Sort of like chiffon.
Yeah.
You know? Schifano.
Okay.
Is there a second? There's a motion to accept this nomination. Second? Any discussion? Dan?
I don't know. I don't think I've met Renee. I don't know if it's appropriate. I'd like to hear a little bit about, you know, what your vision is for the city.
From the perspective of someone that's 4 houses within our new city limits, I just hope for the best. This is the first time I heard about the second mid-state electric raise. We have a lot of retired seniors here. We're on fixed budgets. We all try to help each other. It goes on and on and on. I've been here since 1980. All I can tell you is I just want to help. I want it. Maybe be there to say, now look, we don't need to do that, let's do this or whatever. You know, just like a woman, and that's it. I'm not here to get anything or anybody in trouble. I'm the baker at Gordy's Restaurant. If you ever get the thumb raise, come on down. Sorry, I'm a little weird. That's it. Really, that's it. I just have my hopes on the line. I've always liked it.
Adele, anything?
No, I think that we served on the budget and then a little bit on the utility commission.
I could have said that. I'm not used to it.
Okay, thank you. Don?
I trust the recommendation of the planning commission.
I feel the same way. I believe the bringing the recommendation by the planning commission is adequate for me. Therefore, I would entertain a motion to... Or did I do that?
Yeah, we'll have a motion in a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Concurs.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Proclamation for Friends of Lapine. I got a phone call just before I came down here by one of the leaders of the Friends of Lapine and an email from the another one that they would not be able to attend, but I will read the proclamation. Before the City Council of Pine, Oregon, a proclamation declaring May the 21st, 2011, Friends of Lapine Spring City Cleanup Day. Proclamation. Whereas Friends of Lapine, a partnership of the High Lakes Christian Church, Crescent Creek Church, Deschutes County, other local organizations and individuals in collaboration with the City of Lapine itself, are declaring this date as Friends of Lapine Spring City Cleanup. And whereas by calling attention to the need for a community effort for the cleanup of the downtown and the Wickiup Park and Ride areas and performing the same, hope to create a more presentable appearance of our city to our community citizens, regular visitors, and tourists. And whereas the city's support and sponsorship are crucial to the Friends of Lapine's success, and whereas the recognition of the beauty and character of our city are crucial to our citizens, our visitors, and the future of tourism, and whereas the coming together of the Lapine community in this endeavor strengthens our uniqueness as a city and community, therefore be it resolved that the City Council of Lapine, Oregon, hereby proclaims May the 21st, 2011 as Friends of Lapine Spring City Cleanup Day. The City Council of Lapine hereby urges all citizens and community organizations to join in and support the effort on the 21st of May as the official spring cleanup of the City of Lapine. Dated this 11th day of May, 2011 by the City Council of Lapine. Yes.
Motion.
Let me second.
I'm actually saying this one.
Ah, this is...
That's we'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we accept the proclamation that was just read regarding the Friends of the Pine Day. And if we get a second, I have a question.
Is there a second?
I'll second, although I won't be in town during that.
I know
just proclaiming it.
My question is the intent of this that this be an annual day, or is this a one-time 2011 only? I can't tell, but...
Okay. It is the intent of this organization, Friends of Lapine, to take on a name and in the collaboration with the city to make this an annual event, to also explore other options that the city and the Friends of Lapine could collaborate in, as far as maybe having an appliance day or some kind of cleanup day, that people could bring their stuff to a location and it could be hauled off. There are a number of options that this group has explored and feel that this is a beginning.
Okay.
And that it will blossom into a regular event that that the city can afford and the residents can afford in the future.
Okay, it's probably not even important, but if we had a proclamation that said it was a certain Saturday of each May or something, it would be more of an annual thing. But this is prepared, and I don't see any reason not to just go with it. But it says the 21st, and the 21st of each year may not always, whatever. That's details. I don't know.
Right. I think that because it's the first one, A, they don't know if they're going to do it every year.
Yeah.
B, the date will change every year.
Yeah.
And C, you don't need a proclamation every year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an out-of-the-gate type thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's fine. But I'm happy with it.
Okay. Anybody else? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. I concur, and the ayes have it. I would also like to mention in regard to this, when I called up Wise Buys and the Frontier Advertiser, I talked to Melvin at Frontier Advertiser, and he got excited. Asked him to put in this notice in the Frontier Advertiser. He said that years ago, every year, the whole community got together one day of the year and cleaned up all of the streets in downtown Lapine. And he was excited to see that it was getting going again.
Good.
So, okay. Recommendation to appoint one member to the Utilities Committee, Ken Mullenix.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question before we get to that, and there wasn't any spot. May I ask the question?
Sure.
Okay. My name is John Thomas. I live on Holiday Drive in Lapine. I'm the owner of the Pioneer Crossing Building down here at 53279 Huntington Road in the city. The winter before this last, I had a conversation with Glenwood Acres Water Association, who supplies my building. The building had a water leak, which I confirmed. The association sent me a bill for $250, and when asked, could not tell me how many cubic feet of water I used. I was confused. When I asked about the possibility about going to the city water district, because it was cheaper, it would be $10 a month cheaper. They got upset and did not have much of anything nice to say about the city water district, and it would be against the law for me to hook up to them. I would ask if there would be any conflicts of interest with Mr. Molnix occupying both roles of water master with Glenwood Acres and city council member of the City Utilities Committee. Thank you.
I will give you an idea of my my involvement in the Glenwood Acres Water District. I am the water master. We have a board of five members, which I am also the treasurer. I cannot see that there would be a conflict with my having that position and being on the utility committee.
I guess that might depend on the issue that was brought up. I mean, you know, if there was an issue brought up regarding that, I mean...
I think the issue would represent a need to either recluse myself or to explain, you know, which is the normal and common practice of issues coming before an organization where somebody has a an involvement in that that's before the board. Mm-hmm.
So, maybe you should explain what your role as water master. What do you do?
My role as water master is to maintain the water system. Maintain the lines, maintain the pumping, maintain water flow to the customers, the 22 customers that are served by the Glenwood Acres Homeowners Association.
Is
to accomplish all repairs, to keep the system operational.
My question would be: is wouldn't this all be resolved if that building could be hooked onto the city water? Or why is it illegal for them to hook onto city water? Mm.
My understanding through my contacts with the state is that we are a sanctioned water system that is not an area that is annexed into, that is not part of the sewer and water district as they currently are laid out. And we have a sole source operation.
So, what's a sanctioned water district?
It's a private water system that's sanctioned by the state to operate as a private water system, provide water, and under state rules. And we do that.
But once the city owns the water and sewer department here, would it not be possible for the city to annex that into the water department?
I'd be the first one to vote on it.
Once the city has it, obviously those residences are within the city limits. I don't know the law on if it's a water district that's private. I'm not sure. I mean, the conversations I've had with folks out there that they were probably going to want to hook onto our system anyway because their system's old and, you know, that day's coming. So, but I don't know the answer because they're private. Well, I mean, if they're public, it'd be the same. You could assume them, just like we can assume sewer and water, and since they don't have a USDA loan, it would just happen automatically. But if they're private, as the city of Bend realized,
there's a $6 million lawsuit.
You don't just go do that.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a good example, Rick, is that, and it was in the paper again today, they settled for $6 million or something like that. We have vested rights under the state water system, and we have water water rights that if the city's going to annex it, they will be obligated to negotiate with the water district to buy our water rights. And as the case is in Bend, why this Bend didn't treat them right, and they prevailed in the court. So, but
I,
go ahead.
I don't think that's completely true, but it was a failing system, and I think the city has spent millions, far more than $6 million, trying to maintain fire flow and appropriate pressures to go into the into that subdivision. And so it was in the hands of the PUC when the city graciously took it over. But so I guess we'd have to go through your system to make sure that it was A-OK before we...
Right now it's a moot point.
Well, I only spoke to that situation in Bend because of all the things that happened there, they did prevail. But in this case,
it's a moot point.
We're back to the point of, you know, the comments that...
I would like to hear from John Thomas where you think that the conflict of interest is.
I would like to hear that too, but not at this meeting. This wasn't on the agenda,
no.
And it's getting late. I mean, I think it's a good question, but it's something that should have been, you know, probably, I don't know, addressed in another way. I think.
Well, there was actually no other avenue to.
No, I mean, it is on the agenda. You're being asked to appoint someone, and he's raising it. He's a citizen saying, I think that there's a conflict.
I didn't even understand that. I apologize because I didn't realize it was related to an agenda item. I get it now.
I just wanted to know if and ask Mr. Molnax, with Mr. Molnax occupying both the roles of Water Master with Glenwood Acres and City Council member of the City Utilities Committee. I'm not questioning whether there should be a city council member on the city utilities committee. I'm questioning. I would not want to be water master for Glenwood Acres and beyond. I don't believe I would be objective as a city council member.
And I didn't even get that connection, so I apologize. I withdraw my objection. I understand where you're at. I saw that was just coming. Totally.
So the council needs to decide, do you think there's a conflict or not?
There's a potential conflict, in my opinion.
Well, I think it comes down to the situation, but I've already made my comments about that I don't see that that there would be a conflict of interest, because being aware of that, when the subject came up regarding Glenwood Acres, for city action in that area, there is provisions and requirements for anybody who has a conflict of interest on that subject to recluse themselves. Therefore, there's a great deal of other things that the city will be dealing with and has been dealing with where this hasn't come up, that this has nothing to do with.
Mr. Brown, I'd like to say I think in discussing things with you, various other things about the city and so forth, it's my opinion that I think that you could be objective on the water board. That's my personal opinion, and I see no reason not to approve it. That's just my opinion.
Dan?
Are you saying you're comfortable with it?
I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
You know, obviously, people, it's a little, number one, on conflicts, the bigger issue is the appearance of a conflict. Because that's what the public ultimately, that's what they base it on, is the appearance of a conflict. 99% of the time, it's kind of some of the things we've dealt with across town over here. There's an appearance, it's not probably a technical conflict of things, it's the appearance. So you have to be careful of that. But having said that, utilities committee is really working with the consolidation with the sewer and water districts, and really is not working on particularly other topics at this time. It's also, we just said, Flats is going to sunset and shut down very quickly. And conflicts, I mean, from a pure kind of technical standpoint, it has to be that a person is gaining for them and their family or something directly. In other words, a realtor on the planning commission who approves where zoning is done, you can argue that the realtor has an interest in the commercial zone being here or residential zone being there. That realtor, every planning commission has a realtor on it. And the general theory is, unless it involves their specific piece of property that they're like have a real estate deal on, but if it's generic to the community, a realtor gets to partake in that debate and doesn't have to declare a conflict. In this case, there's 20 some water users.
22.
I guess if somehow the debate was, are you running a pipe to Ken's house, or if you were setting rates that Ken's going to have to pay, then you cross into it's a conflict of interest. I think otherwise, we talk about business things. You work for the chamber.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. You would not vote on all kinds of things. So I think the conflict of interest rules are really that you personally gain financially or a family member. Mm-hmm. If that's not the case, and it's kind of citywide, it's actually not a conflict of interest, although only the person, I am not giving legal advice, and only the person knows if they have a conflict or not. So this is low risk on the conflict threshold, actually.
Well, you touched on something that, I was under the impression that the committee was going to sunset soon, and that the charge, the I'm not sure how much need there is. Is there a real demand? Is there a real need to add an additional member to that committee?
Well, actually, and Adele could probably talk to it. Mm-hmm. At the last meeting, it was they decided to have Ken do that, I believe.
The committee?
Well,
yeah,
the committee recommended it.
Well, my impression was that they felt that there would be a good contribution if there was two council members on there, that there was it wasn't done on any of the other committees. However, on this particular committee, they felt that was something that it would benefit the discussion. So when I couldn't do it, and Ken showed a lot of interest in it and had been on it before, that the committee agreed that they would like him back on it. So that's what I remember.
Okay.
Anything else, Adele?
Well, I just, it's an interesting point, and I think that that might be more realized when on the Public Utilities Committee.
You mean the Public
Works? Public Works, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if he's got a conflict there, he's got one here, because ultimately they just make recommendations to the council.
But in the utility, their charge is just for the annexation and not necessarily for anything else.
That's true.
And you know, another thing, this is a committee, it's not, he already is a counselor, mm-hmm. and he's got more influence as a counselor than he does as a committee member. So I mean, it's almost like not.
It's up to him to declare a potential or a conflict of interest if a topic comes up, and then if someone challenges it because they feel they have a right to challenge it, and that's the system.
Yes. Yep.
And that was my whole input.
So we've been going a long ways around that one.
You know, there's one other thing to consider. You know, we're not just busting with applications to get on these committees. I mean, we don't have a big line like this to do it. And when you stop and look at how many people are actually working for the city or any other of our organizations in this town, we're pretty hard put to find people.
Yep.
So that should be under consideration, too.
Okay. What do we need here?
Well, we need a motion to appoint Kim Molex to
television. I'll make that motion.
I'm sorry, there was a comment.
No, sorry, you know, it's not appropriate at this time, but I was just going to elaborate on what Adele already said, that Ken has already been on this committee, and the fact that that the council selected Adele to be the representative, and now she can be, so Ken is going to be.
Is there a second?
I second.
Is there any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair concurs. Discussion on laptop computers for counselors.
Stu's not here. Stu, remember, we had our goal setting when this came up, and we were they wanted to bring it back. And so they got some quotes, I have not been involved in this whole quote, this thing at all. This was just emailed into us today, so.
Is this open discussion?
My involvement in this quotes, as I indicated at the goal session, was I spoke with Little League Technology and gave them an idea of what was most likely needed for any counselor that wanted to have its system, and they provided these quotes to the city.
Obviously, the discussion you remember from the meeting for all of you was that as people, as you see it happening, and Ben, obviously, with people, emails and things, they make public records requests, the Ben Bulletin, or in lawsuits especially. For emails, if you're using your own computer, they theoretically have to go take your computer and go through it and decide which is city business and which is not city business, which means someone has to read it. And Stu says, now he has been wanting a laptop, but Stu also has a certain email address that he wants everything sent to, and he's several times gotten mad, you know, if an email's went to his own personal. So, you know, the theory is there are a lot of cities that do provide laptops. If, in fact, what you say on your computer, council-related, is a public document subject to public search and seizure, that maybe it's appropriate for the city to provide that. That when you are elected, are you giving up your personal rights to allow someone to come charging into your house and take your computer because someone says you sent an email on some topic? So I mean, it's a legitimate question, again, I think it's one you have to answer for yourselves.
My position, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have no problem with this, but I have a problem with the argument given to that point, because it kind of like doesn't make any sense, because what they would do is they would subpoena any records that has to do with X, and they would only be entitled to X. They won't be able to, if they're looking for a needle in a haystack, they're not able just to subpoena the whole haystack, because then you can find out all sorts of things, and then you could build your case on the stuff that you found in the hay. But if anybody got that. So that's my only comment.
For me, I'm not comfortable with using my personal laptop to do city business. I do lots of emails. I get emails as the mayor. I get emails from lots of people. I'm using a system that is actually using Microsoft 2000. The software that's on that system does not allow me to use a calendar that the city has. I don't have the capacity or the strength in the software I have to do my job properly, I don't believe. And based upon the fact that I really don't want somebody coming in yanking my hard drive out of my laptop and going off, and you can say what you want about it being a haystack and they can't look for anything, but you go in there and you find something, you know, you don't know what they're going to do with it. So if that's what you were referring to, that's how I feel about that. So,
and the other part of that debate was, which I didn't mention, was that different people were having trouble opening things because of older software or different things. So we said, well, we'll have to either send our computer guy out, we'd pay for that, I guess, to go help you get your computer set up at home, or provide a laptop.
Well, another thing this raises, too, is that they're suggesting getting Microsoft 2010. So if you're not, that is a complete different than 2003. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need to provide training for, I mean, it's completely different. You're not even going to know how to navigate in the thing. So we'll either have to consider additional training or so I'm being trained, and I'll be willing to train the counselors if anybody's interested in it, if you're a quick study. So I'll be willing to give it a go, and if that won't work, then we really need to get in some training budget, because it's very hard to navigate.
And of course, it's not required that anyone, some people don't want a second laptop, and don't want another computer. So,
but then again, then that poses another problem. If you're on 2010 and I have 03 on my system, it's not going to be compatible.
Staff's computers are different, too.
We've got 07.
Yeah, we've got 07.
Yeah.
Are these, aren't we talking about mainly email? We're not talking about publishing. And
no, he was talking about MS Word.
I guess what I wondered is why do we need Excel and PowerPoint?
You need Outlook to send the email, and you need that for the calendar. So many documents come out in Excel and Word. You'd have a hard time opening things if you didn't have it. So
all the attachments and stuff.
It's a package.
Well, it doesn't have to be a package. But if we need to do more than email, that's fine.
If you're going to have a laptop, it needs to have Microsoft Office. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. Yep. You would end up with problems all the time if you didn't have that. Because you're going to write letters on it, you're going to do things. You'd have to have it. Yeah. Our whole budget comes out.
Yeah.
Not that you're supposed to be in there changing on your own. But yeah. You know.
PDFs.
Yeah.
PDFs work.
Well, bear in mind, too, that it would belong to the city. And, for instance, when my term is up and somebody else is elected, that laptop goes to that person. I don't keep it as mine. So, I mean, it isn't an investment that's used for just one term for one counselor. It kind of stays in the system.
Well, that is true, but with technology the way it is, I mean, things are 2 years or 4 years is about about time to get a new one, you know.
But still, the data would be there. I mean, there's a lot that could, in my case, you know, passing this over to the mayor in what, next year? Yeah, we're going to elect the mayor. If the charter is approved, 2012 will be the election.
Oh, yeah.
That's next year.
You said something about the laptops being obsolete in 2 years. I've got a computer sitting on my desk at home. It's over 10 years old. And I'm still using it.
But that's why those are some of those we've been talking about.
Right?
That's
why we can't. I can still get Microsoft on it. So, I mean, you can update it. It's not just a 2 year thing. Sure. In fact, by the time you buy this, they've already got technology that's way ahead of what you're doing.
I know, but I guess what I'm just saying is it's not a long, it's not like a long term investment. It's got a limited life. You know?
I think any technology that we get into to maintain the city is going to have its limited lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay. Are we?
I think we beat this up. So I would entertain a motion to buy laptops for any city councilor who wants or needs one. Based upon this proposal. Do I hear a motion?
I'd be willing to make a motion that we buy one for the mayor.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, is there any further discussion? All those in favor of buying a laptop for the mayor based upon this proposal?
Should we buy one laptop, or as this proposal says, for five?
My motion is that we buy one laptop and the software for the mayor's use. Plus the software.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. All those opposed?
Aye. Well, I think if you're going to buy it for one, you should buy it for all. Personal opinion.
We'll need a roll call vote because we actually have two, so you need to do a
roll call vote. Dan? I am voting yes.
Could we restate that yes. Motion?
Okay. The motion is that we buy a laptop per the proposal, one laptop for the mayor and the software to run that laptop, Microsoft Professional 2010.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
He was just restating the motion.
I just restated.
Okay, restated. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. That's aye. Dan. I'm Dan Barker, and I'm saying aye.
Councilor Del Maffei, aye.
Don Joyner, I say nay.
Kim Molnix, aye. All those opposed? There's a nay here.
Nay.
The ayes have it. Discussion on community outreach regarding withdrawal of the districts.
That came at the I haven't done anything with that. I'm doing the budget, so
okay.
That came from a
council wanted it.
It was a recommendation of the utility committee. Right?
I kind of even mentally lost. I don't remember the discussion that much. So, I mean, I'm water district all the time, so as far as outreach. I mean, right now, today, I mean, I would say we need to let the election happen next week. Mm-hmm. And let's kind of see where, if there needs to be outreach. And because I think what they were saying was that we need to educate people on why we're doing what we're doing and so on and so forth. But I think the reality is you probably need to get the election over with and see where the cards and things are going to lay. That will affect, is it something's going to happen sooner rather than later? Is it going to be...
Yeah. I think that one of the things that came out of that discussion was to instill confidence on how we are moving forward and how we're going to structure things, what our plans are, and
what can you do with our newsletter?
I think there was going to be I think it would merit additional discussion on exactly how we want to move and what we want to say on it. Maybe that we can toss it back to the utility committee and have them come up with a recommendation on
what to do.
On what the message will be.
Don? Any comment?
Not on this one.
Okay. I think we should do that. Therefore, we have a consensus on that.
Sure.
Okay.
What did y'all say?
Consensus to have a public meeting, right?
No, to hand it back to the committee.
Oh, okay.
And have them come forward with ideas of how to do this. Is that what you said?
Yeah, but I see that there's two hands out there, and maybe before reaching a consensus on something, maybe they have something else to add that we haven't considered. So,
all right.
I'd like to hear if there's
something. My name is
Wayne Kovacs, Matt Court in La Pine. I have a mailing list of the water rate users. And I think that it would be appropriate maybe to send them something directly stating, you know, your goals and what you plan. And I think that that would be probably a better directed approach, because you're going directly to the rate users. And I think that this is something that they really don't know what the effect is going to be when and if the city takes over the water and sewer districts. So I think that this would be very appropriate at that time to do this.
Ted Scholler, Cornell Drive, current chairman of the Utilities Committee. In a discussion last time, the committee, I think, and Stu Martinez brought it up, and appropriately so. That kind of spinning our wheels at this point. We get a report from Rick what's happening, which he gives you due the next week or whatever, and so it's a duplication, and we feel that we're probably served our usefulness at this point. But if there's additional charges you want to put into me, that's fine. And part of the question there was, would that not be handled by the Public Works Committee, which will be taking over the water and sewer anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think his idea of a letter at some point, I mean, you know, probably after, would be best to wait to July mm-hmm. or next month if the districts agree to initiate the withdrawal process, a joint letter mm-hmm. signed by the chair of those two districts and the mayor that went out explaining, this is the timeline, this is what we're going to do, the USDA is going to spend 8 or 9 months studying it, take over next July, you will not see any changes directly in your service, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just the city sending it without the withdrawal initiated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
And I think the reason that discussion was is because through the survey that there was a number of people who didn't make up their mind, who didn't really know enough about it, who wasn't sure.
Is it important to do a separate letter from the city newsletter, or could that not be in the...
Well, we did a district... I think if we're actually... If they're going to initiate a withdrawal, I think a letter with their logo, our logo type thing that goes to every household just in the city, everybody, I think would be good. It's worth it, because it's going to be a year of a lot of things, and people aren't sure. You know, some people think you're going to go cut their rates. Someone else probably thinks you're going to raise their rates. Someone else thinks, you know, and everything in between. So... Once we kind of work out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and the timelines, we can include that in a nicely worded letter.
It's a good thought, yeah.
Okay. Other matters? And we have under other matters, we have a mosquito abatement contract?
Yes. This is our... We actually did get a... you got... And I think it was included. But we actually had another...
Oh, good.
But,
he was interested.
Oh, there it is.
This is the other company.
Yeah, it was way mini, quite expensive. Terminex, and I met with the Terminex guy, and Sid handled most, as far as getting this all out. And you see the bid there. We're going to get the discount without prepaying. I told him we don't prepay. But he's going to give us a discount anyway, because that's me. And the reason we added this tonight was the mosquitoes are starting to...
They're thick.
They're starting to have babies. So they're in their mating season, and we need to get... It's a short time frame for them, and we need to be getting them some... other than your arm.
So did this include the barrier treatment?
Well,
or no?
No, we're going to... The whole barrier thing, we talked about that. He wasn't sure what exactly we were talking about. And he said it's way more expensive if you're going to go out and, like, put stuff in, like, these...
Zones or wet pools.
And then, you know, so other than that, just a little discussion we had at our deal, we couldn't really ask the right question. Because I said, well, over here, where the river comes in close... You know, by the park and some of that. And he said, well, we actually do some of it for the park. The park has us do some separate things that you don't pay for. So I think we said, you just bid this at this time, and if we need to up it to do more spraying, you know, that would be a different addition to this contract, and we can try to figure that out if people truly want that. But I need to sit down with Justin to find out where they spray. I mean, is the problem over at the park in that general area, or is the problem all through town? Because remember they were talking like that. There was some sort of... I got the idea there was a berm or something, or some area that is worse than others.
I was in Roseland Park one time, and I'll tell you, the mosquitoes almost ate you up.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that they would want it sprayed around the areas down there.
In the rodeo, standing water.
The rodeo grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he said, you know, like they come out before the rodeo. You know, they know where the events are. He's pretty, he owns the company, the guy that came.
Is the 31 miles identified on a map?
I think they did every street.
Did what?
Yeah, there is. I mean, he did every street, didn't he?
I don't know. I think last year they concentrated on the areas around this metal area, I thought, but I don't think they did
Crescent Creek.
I don't either.
No.
They did our area.
This is the same as we did last year. We did not expand. No one said to expand it, and I wasn't here when you originally did. I'm assuming you guys picked out where you wanted it and how you wanted it.
I think we wanted it.
You wanted it.
So, if you want another road added or another place, but I can send you the map. He has a map. I don't know if he had road. Did he have streets listed? I got the impression they went. I thought they went everywhere, but they focus higher on this side of town because that's...
Mm-hmm. Is this... about the same that we paid last year?
Yeah, it's about, I want to say $500. It was seven something last year.
Yeah.
And he said with the fuel price and the chemicals that went up a little, it's not. But that's why I jumped him down to $441.
Rate reduction.
Huh?
Rate reduction.
Ken, I think your mosquito abatement thing is underneath the papers for the laptop computer.
The laptop.
Clip here. I think it's not underneath this.
It's attached to that. Take your clip off.
There's very few companies, or no companies, really do much of this. It's not like he gets many to pick from either. I get the impression people liked it.
Yeah.
It seemed to help.
I've already been asked for it again.
Every week, this is it's in the budget plan to be done.
It's good.
So if we get a motion to approve, we
need a motion.
Yes, yeah, so like we can get the sign.
I'll make a motion to approve that contract as written.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Chair. Yeah, I think we might be able to get a map or find out exactly what streets just to get you know what we're missing. Because we can always adjust it if we want.
I think Crescent Creek does its own spraying, but it was much more effective because, you know, of the outlying areas.
Right.
So.
Okay. Public comment.
Question. Not a common bar step in schedule. Is the city looking for a flagpole?
What we're actually looking for,
this one to make it taller.
This one to make it taller. It's a monumental task.
30 or 40 foot on or something.
There's someone putting a flag up.
Yeah,
in
I'll get with you later.
Okay.
Number 52657 Pine Drive in the city. Concerning the mosquito abatement program, last year it was effective. They did do my neighborhood. But I have one comment that I feel is real important, that notices should be put somewhere where the residents know when the guy's going to show up with the foggy trouble. I know a number of people who have very serious respiratory problems, and they need to know when that guy's going to come down their street and spray that fog. Now, last year it was put in the Frontier.
Yeah.
It wasn't put in the Frontier all the time. Sometimes we knew when he was coming, and sometimes...
He had a calendar.
It's weather permitting, too.
And that's another thing.
The people who need to know, I know people who can't breathe that stuff. They can't breathe around it. So, but it does work. It does work.
Well, we'll get the calendar out. You know, it's going to be... You can only give so much notice on that, because the problem is if you say I'm going to do it Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's raining... Are you saying you're going to skip your spraying then? Because you can't run up and down the street sending little hand notices out. So it's kind of like Lapine sprays for mosquitoes, and here's the basic thing. Now, I mean, unfortunately, what he says the reality is people see him, they hear this little hum and the noise, and they see him coming, and the mother runs out, and she's got kids under each arm, and they go running into the house and throw the windows down, and then their kids are looking out the window. Then the truck passes, and some kids don't come out, and some do. It's actually approved, you know, for it can go on rivers. But there are some people with respiratory issues. We had that one person call that said that they can't come to Lapine on those days. They live in Sun River, and they won't come to Lapine on the days we spray.
I think that there's enough complexity in this whole thing. You make a very valid point, Doug, with this respiratory problem that's amongst us. But the other problem lies in is just as the city manager has explained that, you know, you rain out, so he comes back the next day, and how do you solve that? Then you get into a very complex, more expensive regime of trying to get that out there, you know. So
we'll look at that and see which I think we need to put the calendar out and say these are the weeks that we're in this. He has quadrants, like three or four quadrants in town, and he does those areas. They're here all the time, and they you know.
I would think then maybe with all this information we need to get out, we need another newsletter.
Yeah.
Well, right now there is no staff to put the newsletter together. So
there was a little tongue in cheek there.
No, well, that's good.
When the mayor gets his laptop, he can just.
And this is going to be like the chickens. I know. Okay. Are there any further public comments? I saw her hand first. So.
Vicki Jackson, I live on Main Court in Three Rivers. Couple things. Legal fees. I see that we just paid Bryant Loveland $13,000, and I see from last month we only had $2,000 left in our budget for the end of the year. So are we making some appropriations or whatever to move some money around?
Well, it's in the materials and services line, and we have lots of them that are unspent. So,
so you just move it over?
Yeah, that's you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
This month the bill is like $4,000.
Okay. So this is the typical ups and downs.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
we know what that 13, where that was.
Yeah, when AI's got a breakdown for the last year of how much of the bill is BioGreen, how much is sewer and water, and you know, when you put the budget together again, this before I got here, I doubt that you guys thought you'd be out battling appeals with BioGreen and helping BioGreen land here. There's several thousand dollars that went to BioGreen, and then of course the sewer and water. When you put the budget together, you didn't know that you would be taking them on. I think if you subtract those away and just had a normal type run-of-the-mill stuff, you'd be under budget, you know. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ted?
A couple of comments, especially by BioGreen. EDCO, Economic Development for Central Oregon, is having their monthly meeting here at Midstate tomorrow.
No,
Senior Center.
Huh?
Senior Center.
Sorry, yeah. Senior Center. That's what I meant.
Last night.
That's why I pointed that right. At the Senior Center at 8:30 to 10:30 tomorrow. And they put it there so it could handle people. So, I encourage anybody to go. The city's making a presentation. The chamber's making a presentation. And Rob Broberg with BioGreen is making a presentation. So, might be a very informative meeting tomorrow morning, and they rotate around, and it's our turn to host them. The other comment I have is, you know, this is a novice speaking. Would a notebook do for the mayor to use for his email and all of that type of thing? It'd be handy to carry with him and or her, depending on whoever is the mayor.
You mean the.
Well, these little pads, notepads. Don't they call them notebooks now? Small computers that you can take with you. They don't take much room.
I think per computer, the cost wasn't that high. So, and I don't think it was the difference between getting all of that software and stuff on it wasn't as such a big difference as one of those notebooks, because I think those run about $300.
Yeah, you're talking about netbook, I think.
Yeah.
And I have one of those, and it's challenging. I wouldn't ask our mayor to use it.
Are there any further comments?
Lori Fleming, Deer Forest Drive. I know that Stu was the one that really brought the computer thing up, and I would hope that this might be looked at again when he's back. Because he did have some real concerns and he felt real strongly about it, so maybe it's something that should be looked at again.
Bob Stephens again. I just wanted to mention to Ted that as of at least a month ago, notepads were XP only, not Windows 7 compatible.
Okay.
I don't think we want that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any further comments? Do I see somebody else? No?
Budget meeting next Tuesday, right? 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So we start. We'll have a couple of those coming up. So make sure everyone's ready. The budget is. We'll probably get the sometime in the next day or two, you'll get the budget emailed out, just the budget part of it. The actual nice document will probably be produced the day of the meeting. It's not the colorful stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So are we going to appoint that budget committee, or do we have enough applicants? Or?
Well, the budget committee has already been appointed.
Isn't it Tuesday?
They've been appointed.
No.
Yeah.
6
o'clock. We're actually short
Tuesday.
Well, I know we appointed a couple, but...
Well, we actually have a vacancy.
Okay. So how many people are there? 3?
There's four.
Who's the fourth person?
I don't have that many.
Vivian Cooper's one.
Vivian. These two.
Oh. Well, Vivian's over at appointed.
Well, but see, those terms were for...
Your term
was
for
4 years. Yeah. But we do actually have a vacancy.
So this Tuesday meeting is a committee meeting?
It's a city council and the... It's an equal member, 5 council plus 5 citizens, although we'll have 9. Mm-hmm. And it's the first kind of reading, and then you'll come back. You have a calendar, and it will come back.
What's the date on the 17th? Okay, that's election day.
Yes. I do know that.
What time is this?
Not yet.
6 o'clock. Here at 6 o'clock?
Next Tuesday is our budget meeting. Patty, have you sent that out?
I sent out 2 notices.
Yeah.
To the members, but tomorrow I'll send it out to our agenda notification.
Yeah, we got the agenda. I approved that today.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay. Yeah, I won't be able to be there. I won't be able to be there.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, the calendar, and these are all timeline. We put our notice in the paper. It has to be so many days and just the whole little thing.
Yeah. I don't see our normal agenda here.
On council comments.
Council comments,
yeah,
staff comments, and
I don't know.
I pointed that out in an email last week.
But you can certainly have been. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, are there any committee reports?
I have one for COIC. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to hear it now?
Sure.
Okay, we had a meeting on last Tuesday. I'll hand out I got one for everybody. At the COIC meeting on Thursday, May the 5th, Neighborhood Housing Rehabilitation Program update we received from Mrs. Karen Orm. The program has a high impact on a few people. However, it can make the difference between them keeping their home or losing it. Low-interest loans are available for needed repairs as well as health and safety issues. Most of these are small loans, although some larger loans are considered. Some funds are also set aside to assist South County residents who were required to upgrade their septic system. One of the requirements is that the homeowner must have enough equity in their property to cover the loans. Funds, when available, are distributed on a quarterly basis for the loans that have been approved. Well, actually, what happens if they, at the beginning of the quarter, if they have several applications, they go through them, whichever ones they're going to fund are funded at the end of that quarter. And one of the things that they're really concerned about is there's no funding been available through the state right at the moment. So all the future of the whole program is in jeopardy and in doubt. And they can't make any loans until they get the budget from the state. We also heard about the National Career Readiness Certificate Program. If you remember, I brought to your attention some time back. And they have the skill tests are in applied mathematics, reading for information, and locating information. And it's interesting to know that Oregon leads the nation in the number of certificates earned. At last count, there were 6,914 certificates awarded in the state of Oregon. 829 were bronze certificates, and that qualifies an applicant for approximately 35% of available jobs. There were 3,269 silver certificates, and that qualifies the applicant for approximately 65% of the jobs. And 2,682 gold certificates, which qualifies the applicants for approximately 90% of the jobs, and 134 platinum certificates, which would qualify or certify that each of the applicants that had that could qualify for about 99% of the jobs. And this is not an not just take the place of an application, it's just a tool for an employer to, when he looks at somebody, he knows that they have at least some of those skills in applied mathematics, or they can read something and understand it, or they can go out and locate the information that they need. And one of the big reasons that it's a valuable program is it lets companies that are willing to locate in this area know that we have a large percentage or a large group of available applicants that are qualified. So it's one of the things that they use for economic development. Mm-hmm. One thing you might like to know, there was a $7,474.22 of a $25,000 loan was written off, and another loan, $86,970.40 of a $100,000 loan. And that loan, the business was lost due to the recession. Now bear in mind that although those loans are written off the books, they still try to collect that money, and if they do collect it, it's applied to that loan. One comment that I'd like to make, because it's been here with us about police protection in the community and also code enforcement. And the city of Culver reported that they've contracted with the Sheriff's Department for city police protection, and they feel it's been really successful and they're very happy with it. In addition to that, they have found someone who will be a part-time code enforcement officer, and they feel that they've had excellent services for both. That, Mr. Mayor, is my report.
Are there any other committee reports?
Thank you, John.
Any further staff comments?
The City Hall remodel, I met with the architects yesterday, so the timeline is about this. They're going to send me an updated one, but basically between now and 1st of July will be the drawing of it and getting it out for bid. A contractor would probably be able to start about after the 4th of July, first week, say between there and the 15th of July. I told them they have to be done by August 15th, September 15th, so that that gives us a week and a half for the legal oriented cities, because legal oriented cities is going to be here. Our plan was to have an open house on that Friday for the community, and also the week. And so we're going to put that into the, we're going to give them the fifth. So it gives them 2 months to do it, and they should hopefully, that could change. Now, your COCO meeting, or your whatever that meeting is, it's not COCO, COCO Junior. the Maupin group.
Yeah.
Well, they're coming when?
September. They're in their September meeting, which is, I think, the third Thursday.
They'll be far enough along that we can probably sit over there and have our meeting, and we should be done. That's the goal of that. And I guess right now I am just working on the budget. And if you've ever been around cities when they're working on it, you have to kind of get in. And here, because it's a big room, it's very hard, because every single person that comes in, and there's meetings throughout the day and things, so what other budget officers say, they shut an office door, and then they can just go work on it. But here, that's more difficult. And when you're trying to get all these columns to add, and to re-go through and make it all look good, it does take some time. It's actually fun, and it's very interesting. And I met for an hour with the Rio Mar yesterday. They got a rough draft of some recommendations. And then I did a couple things to, in the budget affecting the, based on that for next year's funding as far as some accounting issues. And so I think you're going to like the budget and how it rolls. So I think probably by Friday we can email you the... Tomorrow I just want to go through one more edition to make sure that every single page adds and is... What Ken and I went over it again for an hour today. Yeah, he came in. You were here. The other Ken, yeah. And, you know, but it is. It's a whole different deal than what you've had. So it's just lots of funds. And as Kendall will tell you, it makes it it's more complex. It's just hard trying to track where everything moves and how it all does it. But it's a better product when it's done. So I apologize that I don't have a book. I went over to Bed, Books, and Beyond, or BS. Get that Beyond. That's a
Bed, Bath, and Beyond.
Isn't that a store?
Yeah.
Not in my mind. Yeah, so anyway, I was over there, and I just make sure that they have enough binders and things, because we want to shop locally, and you know, because we'll have color in here, and so I got her tuned in for Tuesday. Okay. She'll produce this. Because I'm including some charts and graphs and things that, that give you more of a visual of it. This is really better for people. So.
Are there any councilors' comments?
Do you need a commission report?
No.
Oh, sometimes you go up to committees, commission reports.
Well, that was just really the councilor, the committees and the council.
Well, the planning commission, we'll be working on the, we just put it on our website. Deborah just sent out the update on the sign code, and we'll have that out for you tomorrow. And I don't know if it's been added. We just got this today, and it should be going on our website, because there's a lot of documents. But they went through and changed the sign code a lot, put more of the visual stuff that everyone wanted and all of that. So right now, you know, our planning and zoning is on those issues.
Yeah, so they're going to be a thick packet.
Yeah, so and we have a hearing on our final on that is
Wednesday the 18th.
Next Wednesday
the 18th.
Just after the planning commission.
Yeah, so we're busy.
Planning commission 5:00.
That's right. And obviously, the other thing is, you know, Sid's gone, so there's just. We're back to her eyes.
Okay, she does. So I will.
Her boyfriend was killed in a car accident. And I did talk to him. He was going to meet his dad in Southern California, and they were going surfing. And so he had a surfboard, and he fell asleep and got killed. And she had no means of. To stay in Bend, they had horses, and you know, it was a joint deal there. And so she's going back to Spokane, where her brother and her mother are, and they are here loading her up today and the horses today and tomorrow, and they will be going. And she told me she really enjoyed it, and we were really kind of getting into kind of, you know, she prepared some of the preliminary stuff on the budget work. Not the numbers, but the verbal stuff, and put some graphs together, and so I've been working on those. That makes also a lot, because someone else was doing it, and you now are trying to go in, and so I'm changing some of that. But certainly, several of you I know stopped by and saw her, and she gave Patty a big hug when she left, and I walked her out to the car and took some, she had some flowers there, and yeah, it was. She said she'd hope she could come back someday into Central Oregon, and I think that we just never got. Far enough down the road to do all the things we might have wanted to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, life does what life does.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to get a new Sid?
No. Not in that sense, probably. I think what I've told the council is that I think we need to wait and conclude it in the whole, after the budget's done, then we'll have a whole session on what we need. I think it's the way to look at it as a package, not that. And then also the sewer and water. Get this election done to see where that's moving, because that dictates staffing. So.
John, did you have some additional comments around planning?
Basically, we're thrilled in. However, next Wednesday, 5:00 p.m., the Planning Commission will meet and be fully seated after months and months. Thank you very much. We appreciate those volunteers.
That's at 5:00?
5:00. And we will be going over next year's budget and basically spending a lot of time getting the new commissioners up to speed also. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, Council?
Nope.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make that motion that we adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.